أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام ميم. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. آمنا بالله وصدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات على محمد وآل محمد. Respected scholars, elders of the community, my brothers and sisters in Islam, Salamun alaykum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A'azam Allahu ujurana wa ujurakum bi musabina bi Abi Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salatu wa salam. One of the things that I would like to do today is to ask you to reflect a little bit on the day of Ashura. Sometimes what happens amongst the ulama and the zakirin when they recite the masayib of the day of Ashura, there are some very important messages on that day that we sometimes tend to neglect, because of course it is a day where we do the adha and do the masayib of Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. On the day of Ashura, after Imam Husayn alayhi salam had basically lost all his companions, and he had taken the body of Hazrat Qasim back to the Khaymagah. He had taken out the spear from the chest of Ali ibn al-Akbar. He had presented the six-month-old baby's neck slaughtered to his mother who was waiting in the Khaymagah. As he had gathered the arms of Abu al-Fadl Abbas in the Nahr of Furat, he was now alone. And he goes into the battlefield. And as he goes into the battlefield, he is showered with arrows. He is showered with stones. He's attacked from all sides. There comes a time when Aba Abdullah falls from his horse into the burning fields of Karbala. And as he falls into the burning fields of Karbala, his body lies motionless in that burning field of Karbala. And his body, as it lies motionless, the people in the army of Umar ibn Sa'd, they are not sure if Hussein is alive or if he has passed away. They go to Umar ibn Sa'd. They said to Umar ibn Sa'd that Hussein bin Ali's, you know, body is lying motionless on the fields of Karbala. We don't know if he's alive or if he has passed away. But we are scared to go close to him to find out if he's alive or if he has passed away. And Umar ibn Sa'd says to his people, he says, go slowly, but let me tell you, I can find out if Hussein is alive or if he has passed away. And he says, the way to find out, he says that I want a group of my army to gather around. And he gathers a group of his army around. And he says, I want you now to march towards the Khaymagah of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, towards the tents of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. And he says that if you go towards the tents of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein with the intention of looting the tents, with the intention of stealing the tents, with the intention of burning the tents, he said, if Hussein is alive, then his zeal will not allow him to be able to bear this kind of atrocity in his lifetime. So the army gathers. And according to Umar ibn Sa'd, they start to march towards the Khaymagah of the women folk and the children of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. And as they are marching towards the Khaymagah of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, Aba Abdullah, from the corner of his eye, as his body lies motionless in that ground of Karbala, he sees this army slowly marching towards the Khaymagah. And as he sees this army slowly marching towards the Khaymagah, with all his courage that he can muster, with all his strength that he can gather, he now stands up and sits up on his two elbows. This is what the history says. He gathers all the courage and he stands up and sits up with his two elbows and he makes a statement. And I tell you, amongst all the statements of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein that he made on that day of Ashura, amongst all the statements that he made even in the journey towards Karbala, I feel, in my opinion, this is one of the most beautiful and amazing statements of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. Because this statement is made at a time when he has just moments left in his life. He is taking the last breaths of, you know, life. And he makes a statement as the people are moving towards the Khaymagah. And he says, إِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لَكُمْ دِينَ وَلَا تَخَافُونَ الْمَآدِ فَكُونُوا أَحْرَارًا فِي دُنْيَاكُمْ. What a statement. And this is the statement that we want to analyze today. For this statement, inshallah, will be the basis and the understanding for the life and the deen that the Holy Prophet brought, inshallah, in the next couple of majlises. In lam yakun lakum deen, he says, wala takhafun al ma'ad, fakunu ahraran fi dunyakum. He says, if you don't have the religion, if you do not have the deen, and you do not fear the hereafter, فَكُونُوا أَحْرَارًا فِي دُنْيَاكُمْ. At least be a free human being. At least be a free human being. If you are not on the religion of God and you do not fear the hereafter, at least be a free human being. At least be human. أَغَرْتُمْ دین خدا پہ نہیں ہو اور تمہیں قیامت کا خوف نہیں ہے تو انسان تو بنو. This is the message of humanity that Aba Abdullah is giving. The message of humanity. At least be free from your animalistic desires. Be free from your vices, your malices, and your passions. Be a free person. And history says, this shocked the group, the small group that was slowly advancing towards Aba Abdullah. The history says they threw their swords on the floor and they came back and they started to talk to each other and they said, what a statement by Aba Abdullah. In lam yakun lakum deen, wala takhafun al ma'ad, fakunu ahraran fi dunyakum. Now, if you look at this statement, right, you see, Imam has described three categories of people, yeah? The first category of are those that are on the religion, yes, that are on the deen, and they have the fear of the hereafter, yes? They're on the deen, and they have the fear of hereafter. That's the first category. The second category is that group which do not have the deen, and they do not have the fear of the hereafter, and they are not even human. And the third category is of that people who do not have the deen. They do not have the fear of the hereafter, but at least they are a free human being. Yes? Those are the three categories Imam Hussein alayhi salam has described in this particular statement. The question, of course, that I have for Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, the question that we should have for Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, is we should say to Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, oh Aba Abdullah, the people that you are addressing, the people to whom you are saying, in lam yakun lakum deen wala takhafun al-ma'ad, these are Muslims. They are Muslims. They are on the deen. In fact, the history tells us the people in the army of Umar ibn Sa'd, they were the Qari of Quran. They knew the Quran by heart. They used to fast in the holy month of Ramadan. They had marks of sujood on their forehead. Yes? In fact, they had prayed their salat before they came to slaughter Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. So we can ask the question to Abu Abdullah, these people are on the deen. They're on the religion. Yes? Today, if I say to you, who's a religious person? Yes? What are we going to say? Bana, namaz pareche, rojo rakheche. Yes? We are going to list, you know, in Alhamdulillah, he comes from for Fajr Salat, he recites namaz, Quran every day he recites. This is how we define people on the deen, yes? It seems that the definition of deen, as far as Aba Abdullah al-Husayn is concerned, is different. Now, don't get me wrong, eh? Don't go tomorrow and say that Mitani said that namaz important nati. No, roja important. Now, this is not what I'm saying. Please understand. And if you don't understand, attend the next three lectures, you will understand, inshallah. But it seems that, you know, just carrying out acts of worship ritualistically without understanding what the deen is, according to Imam Hussein, is just doing it in a ritualistic way without understanding. The effect is not there. This is the message of Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. He is stating in this process, yes, that it's not just that you have the deen at a superfluous level, yes, at a superficial level. No, what he is saying is that if you want to achieve spirituality, if you want to achieve, you see, these days, what's the issue, right? Everybody wants to be an arif these days, yes? You talk to a youth, and you ask him about something, they say, I want to be an arif. Alhamdulillah, Ibn Arabi, Ibn Sina, Mullah Sadra, this is what I want. Yes? What is Aba Abdullah saying? He's saying, if you want to achieve spirituality, then first you have to achieve a basic level of humanity within yourself. فَكُونُوا أَحْرَارًا فِي دُنْيَاكُمْ. Even if you are not on the religion and you do not fear the day of judgment, at least be a human being. Free yourself from the shackles that have shackled you, the attachments to this dunya, the greed that you have. Free yourself from that at least. And then start to look at ascension in spirituality. Be a human being first. Develop your moral and ethical character. That is what the deen is. The deen is to build your moral and ethical character. Everything you do has to have an effect on your moral, ethical character. Everything you do. That's the deen, according to Aba Abdullah. Yes? You know, the ayah of the Quran that I recited, you know, in the beginning, recite Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. You know, the ayah of the Quran that I recited is, of course, a very famous ayah. Everybody knows this, yes? First ayah of Surah Baqarah, yes? Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what? Alif lam mim dhalikal kitab, there is this book, there is no doubt in it. Dhalikal kitabu la rayba fi, there is no doubt in it. But what is this book? Hudan, hudan what? Guide. Guide to who? Guide to the muttaqeen. Allah in this ayah is saying that if you truly want that light to enter your heart, the light of your Quran, if you truly want that hidayah, that light of the Quran to enter your heart, then the Quran is a hidayah for who? For the muttaqeen, for those who have taqwa. Allah is saying that at least have a basic level of righteousness within you for the Quran to be a guide for you. It's a guide for the muttaqeen. When you develop your moral and ethical character, what it does, it expands your existential capacity. It expands that as existential capacity, so now you have the ability and the potential to be able to receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you need to develop that basic level of humanity in order to be able to receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need to expand that existential capacity within yourself. You see, the blessing of Allah, the grace of Allah, the benevolence of Allah, the mercy of Allah, that's pouring down 24/7, man, it's pouring. Yes? The problem is not with the source. The problem is with the recipient of that source. How much can you receive of that mercy and the benevolence of God? The more you expand your existential capacity, the more you do what Imam is saying, إِنَّمْ يَكُنْ لَكُمْ دِينَ وَلَا تَخَافُونَ الْمَعَاتِ فَكُونُوا أَحْرَارًا فِي دُنْيَاكُمْ. At least be a human being. As you develop your moral and ethical character, now you expand that existential capacity so you can receive from Allah. Otherwise, I'm telling you, you attend as much Muharram majlises as you want. You do as much adha as you want. But if at the beginning of Muharram, and if as we come to the end of Muharram, if there has not been a change in your character, an ethical, moral change in your character, then you have not expanded your capacity to receive that blessing from Allah. I mean, the beauty of Aba Abdullah is that as you do the azar, you will still receive a reward. That's the status he has with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the essence you will not receive, yeah? Because the Quran also says, hudal linnas, yes? In many areas, you know, the Quran says, hudal linnas. It is also a guide for people. But the true guidance in this ayah is in accordance with that person who has developed an ethical and moral character, expanded that existential capacity. You know, the sacrifice of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, I tend to group it into what I call the four R's. The four R's. The first R, as to why Aba Abdullah made this great sacrifice, is resignation to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes? Resignation to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at what he says, yes, in his letter to Muhammad Hanafiya. He says, I am going to try and reform this society. I'm going to try and bring them back to the deen. What deen, Ya Aba Abdullah? They are praying, they are fasting, they are the Qari of Quran. What deen? I am going to bring them back to the deen of my grandfather and my father, Amirul Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullahi wa salam. I am going to revolutionize it in such a way. I am going to reform it in such a way. I'm going to bring it in such a way that they come back to the actual deen of God, where the values and the principles are immutable. The values and the principles are immutable. The reason is that they are divine. And because they are divine, they cannot be changed. 50 years, it's all it took. 50 years from the death of the Holy Prophet to the events of Karbala, and the society had regressed to such an event that Imam is saying, I need to revive them. They have lost the deen. They've lost the basis of what the Holy Prophet brought. Resignation to the will of Allah. The second R is the resistance towards the evil of Yazid. I gotta tell you, this particular event of Karbala, you know, it really upsets me sometimes. And this is my personal opinion, you may or may not agree. But it really upsets me when sometimes we start to compare the sacrifice of Aba Abdullah we start to compare the sacrifice of Imam Hussein, we start to compare the events of Karbala with other events in history that have happened. Sometimes we lower Aba Abdullah ourselves. Wallahi, we lower him. We do not understand. This was not a man who stood up, you know, it was not a rebel who stood up against a ruler. It was not a man who stood up for his right of khilafat. It was not even a battle of right against wrong. No, it was a battle of ideology. It was a battle of ideology. It was a battle of good against evil. Why? Because it was a battle where the Imam is trying to reestablish the principles of values and principles that are divine in nature. Wants to bring the deen back, the deen that his grandfather establishes. Resistance towards the evil of Yazid. Yes? The third R is reformation of the society. Yes? Reformation of the society and the global community to establish social justice, where society can become vibrant, where every human being can achieve his or her potential and perfection. That's the goal. Reformation of the society. Establishing those principles and values that are divine. Yes? You know, starting to look at what is it in society that is going to bring this back? Because the people had regressed. You know, when people talk about crying, you know, and why we cry for Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. You know, there are many levels of crying, yeah? The lowest level of crying is when you cry for the tragedy. Because when you cry for a tragedy, you do that all the time, do you not? Today or tomorrow, you will get 100 WhatsApp messages or Facebook posts or Instagrams where people are being oppressed around the world, where children are being oppressed, where there is hunger and famine. And you look at those pictures and it brings tears to your eyes. But what happens? A few days later you forget, don't you? Because you're crying on the tragedy. The higher level of crying, people will say, no, I cry for Aba Abdullah al-Hussein because I love Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. Yes. That's a higher level of crying. Alhamdulillah, you love Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. You understand the status of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. You understand the level of imama. Maybe you even understand wilaya. That is a higher level of crying. But the highest level of crying is when you cry for the values and the principles that Aba Abdullah stood for. That's the highest level of crying. You cry because Aba Abdullah stood for those values and principles, and Yazid tried to destroy and eliminate those values and principles. Now you are crying for the values and principles that are divine, and when you cry for those values and principles, that cry will never go away. That fire in your heart will never extinguish. This is why the hadith says that the fire of Hussein will always burn in the hearts of the believers. That's your highest level of crying, right? This is what we need to understand. Reformation of the society and global community. And the fourth R is the revolution. And I don't mean the apparent revolution. Revolution, by revolution, I mean the revolution that he brought that was internal. The revolution that he brought was the revolution that was to awaken the spirit and the heart of the person. Because the people had regressed so much. They had become attached to their greed, to their base desires, to instant gratification, to individualism, in such a way that those chains that they were locked in, they were shackled in those chains. And when you get shackled in those chains, it devours and kills your conscience. And you become apathetic and you become indifferent. And when you become apathetic and indifferent, then nothing moves you. Then you need something quite drastic to jolt you and wake you up. That's the sacrifice of Abba Abdullah. Happens with us, doesn't it? I'm good. I have a good life. Everything's good. Got a good house. Good wife, inshallah. Yes? Good car, good job. Everything's good. You know, something happening somewhere else, it's not my problem. Maro problem na tiya, hum chama tu yadi kar, I'm all right. We become apathetic and indifferent. And whenever the society and the community becomes apathetic and indifferent, it needs a Hussein to rise. It needs that jolt. Somebody has to awaken. You know, when you say in dua kumel zalamtu nafsi, yes? What do you mean? Sometimes the reciters recite zalamtu nafsi three times. Yes? Zalamtu nafsi is what? Zalamtu nafsi is when you have shackled yourself in such a way with the dunya that now you have constricted your existential capacity. You have constricted your existential capacity in such a way that nothing that comes from God makes any difference to you. You're just moving on. That's what it means. Standing up for social justice and establishing a society based on divine values is not easy, my friends. It's not easy. It takes a drastic step sometimes to jolt and awaken the people. It sometimes takes the fact that, you know, you present a baby who is 6 months old and who gets slaughtered by the neck, in the neck, by the arrow of Hormala. And you still present that baby to the mother and say, Aitamtu ayali likay arak. Oh Allah, I have orphaned my children just so that I may come and see you, oh Allah. And if they cut me into pieces, irban, irba, my life, I will not long and yearn for anyone except you, O Allah. Divine values, embodiment in Abba Abdullah al-Hussein. I tell you one thing. You know, Hussein, Abba Abdullah al-Hussein and Janabe Zainab, they rise against oppression to establish a society based on divine values, where we are able to transform ourselves within a continuum. Huh? We have to understand that there is a continuum. It's a process. There's a continuum. You go in a continuum where you are at least a human being looking for spiritual experiences, but you progress slowly to become a spiritual being entrenched in human experiences. That's the message of Abba Abdullah. Aur azizane girami, ye aasan nahi hai. Iske liye qurbani ki zarurat hoti hai. Aur Abba Abdullah ne qurbani di. Aur aisi qurbani di taake log jaag sake. कि क्या हो रहा है यह सोसाइटी कहां तक पहुंच गई है यह आसान नहीं था आप पूछे अब अब्दुल्लाह अल हुसैन को कभी कासिम के लाशे को लेके आते हैं खैमेगा तक कभी नौजवान बेटे की लाश पे बैठे बच्ची के फल को निकाल रहे हैं अब अब्दुल्लाह कभी अली असगर की वो लाश उम्र रबाब को पेश कर रहे हैं जिस लाश के बारे में मिलता है कि खुरमला के तीर ने इस शशमाह को एक कान से दूसरे कान तक जबह कर दिया था کبھی عباس کے دونوں شانوں کو اکٹھا کر رہے ہیں ابا عبداللہ الحسین، کبھی پانی مانگ رہے ہیں ابا عبداللہ الحسین۔ لیکن جب امام سجاد کو یہ پوچھا گیا کہ آپ کو سب سے زیادہ مشکل کہاں ہوئی، تو امام سجاد نے تین دفعہ کہا الشام الشام الشام۔ علماء اخلاق یہ حدیث کے بارے میں کہتے ہیں کہ یہ امام ہے، امام کو جب یہ سوال پوچھا گیا تو امام نے تین دفعہ الشام کیوں کہا، تو علماء اخلاق کہتے ہیں اس حدیث کی تفسیر میں کہ تین دفعہ امام نے الشام اس لیے کہا کہ پہلی دفعہ الشام سے مراد بازار شام ہے، وہ بازار کہ امام سجاد کہتے ہیں کہ ان لعینوں نے میری گردن میں ایک رسی کا پھندا ڈالا اور مجھے اس طرح سے بازار میں گھسیٹ کے لے جایا گیا جیسے کسی جانور کو ذبح کرنے کے لیے لے جاتے ہیں۔ عزاداروں، اور یہ وہ بازار ہے کہ اہل حرم پہ لوگ پتھر برسا رہے ہیں، لوگ تانیاں دیتے ہیں، لوگ پتھر برسا رہے ہیں۔ دوسری دفعہ شام سے مراد دربار یزید ہے۔ امام سجاد کہتے ہیں کہ یہ وہ دربار ہے جہاں میری پھوپھی اور میری عورتیں جو بنو ہاشم کی عورتیں تھیں وہ بے مکھنہ و چادر وہاں کھڑی ہے، اور یزید کسی کو پوچھتا ہے کہ یہ کون ہے اور یہ کون ہے اور یہ کون ہے، اور کوئی کہتا ہے ہاذہ زینب وہاذہ ام کلثوم وہاذہ رباب وہاذہ سکینہ۔ امام کہتے ہیں جب میری پھپھی کا نام آتا تھا تو میں زار زار روتا تھا، ہائے یہ کیسا دربار ہے، اور یزید میرے بابا کے سر کی توہین کر رہا تھا۔ تیسری دفعہ شام سے مراد وہ زندان شام ہے، ہائے وہ زندان جس زندان میں چھت نہیں تھی۔ امام کہتے ہیں کہ جب دین ہوتا تھا تو بچے دین کی دھوپ میں تڑپتے تھے، جب رات ہوتی تھی تو رات کی سردی میں تڑپتے تھے، اور امام کہتے ہیں کہ یہ وہ زندان ہے جہاں میری چھوٹی سی بہن رقیہ یہ زندان میں کام آ گئی۔ اور پھر ایک مرتبہ امام سجاد کہتے ہیں کہ میں نے دیکھا کہ میری پھوپھی زینب بیٹھ کے نماز پڑھ رہی ہے۔ میں نے میری پھوپھی سے پوچھا، پھوپھی اماں میں نے کبھی آپ کو نماز بیٹھتے ہوئے نہیں دیکھا ہے، آپ نماز شب بیٹھ کے پڑھ رہی ہو۔ جناب زینب نے کہا سجاد، ان لوگوں سے کھانا اتنا کم آتا ہے کہ جب میرے حصے کا کھانا آتا ہے میں بچوں میں تقسیم کیے دیتا ہوں، اس لیے زینب بیٹھ کے نماز۔ وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ۔ ماتم حسین، یا حسین۔